you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday. I have to look at the calendar, even though I've looked at it twice before. It's September 18th.
We just went over that.
2019. Well, we had our Prime Life Times meeting yesterday, yeah. And whenever we have our group together, you know, we're talking about the forthcoming, you know, November edition, and then what are we going to do for December?
Right.
And we're still waiting on the October edition that'll come out in like a week and a half. And
I wonder why you're confused,
yeah,
Mark.
That's right. Yeah, Marianne and I were always talking about future deadlines, and I think you had some content contributors, something for like December and January, and so, yeah, anyways, good meeting yesterday, very encouraging. Our sales staff was all in, our copy editors, our proofreading team, just about everyone was able to gather, and we had a couple good hours of conversing, talking through different things. So the benefit of that is we get to have one of our proofreaders, Ruth Esri. I don't know how many hours you put into this paper. You've been helping us for over a year now. How long has it been? You were saying, Mark, if we can get Ruth to maybe do some proofreading, she's really gifted. But you got her beyond proofreading. You got her to even do storytelling now and traveling. So what was this journey that you took last month?
A couple friends and I, when we were on our way to Sullivan to interview the individual that we're going to talk about in a bit, Joy Voltenberg, we decided that we'd make a girl's day of it. So a friend drove and dropped me off at Joy's Custom Quilts of Joy business at her home. And then they went shopping around Sullivan and just noticing what's in the town. And then we met for lunch, and then we went to the little theater on the square in Sullivan.
Nice.
So we just had a great time.
Turned it into a gal's afternoon out or something?
Yeah, fun day. Most of the day,
mm-hmm. Now, you set this up to meet with this gal, this quilt maker, who left some impressions with you.
Oh,
I mean, she's hardworking, effective, gifted, and you put this story
all
together.
All the above, yes. Yeah. Yeah, she's a phenomenal gal who has a lot of gifts and talents that are just so evident when you walk into her home. Mm-hmm. Where she has her shop.
She's won a lot of awards, too.
Yeah, she has. Yeah. She has.
And it made the front page of our B section, the September edition of the Prime Lifetimes, Quilts of Joy, Turning Quilt Tops into Treasures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And shout out thanks to Kate and Huey Freeman for putting us in contact with her.
That's true. Yeah,
now, I'm looking at this picture, and there's a lot of ribbons and medals.
Yeah,
and this is a whole production. This is in her home?
This is in her home, yes. As you'll learn from the article, it used to be the living room of her home. But fortunately for her and her business, she and her husband decided to add a new living room onto another section of the house. So it became her quilting room. And it's just a delight to be there and see all the work that's gone into the many beautiful things that she's created and the rewards that she's obviously earned, evidenced by all the ribbons.
And you've got a double entendre here, Quilts of Joy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And her name is Joy, and I'm sure she's thrilled and very joyful as she gets to do something that she loves.
Yeah, her business is called Custom Quilts of Joy, so it wasn't initially original with us, but it's perfect for what she does and the results that she realizes.
Well, I bet there's a lot of quilters out there that will love this article.
Well, I hope so, because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not even a quilter.
No, I'm not either.
A former seamstress, yes, but not a quilter.
Yeah, let's read it.
Okay. Just over a decade ago, a co-worker invited Joy Voltenberg to attend a quilting class. Joy agreed, thinking, if I never make another quilt, I'll have this one for my bed. In that class, she pieced a log cabin quilt top, but later decided to remove the small center square of every block, replacing it with one she liked better. Joy says she learned a lot during that painstaking process, mostly about what not to do. Joy grew up in central Illinois and soon after high school became a wife, a homemaker, and a mother. both a graphic artist and Disney.
And I like the order of that progression there. But at least I digress. Very good, Joy.
She didn't become a homemaker in high school. Okay, go ahead.
Both a graphic artist and digital marketing manager at her day job, she'd never thought of adding Quilter to her Vita. That one quilting class opened a whole new vista. Joy then studied quilting books and made two more quilts. But no matter how carefully she stretched and pinned the sandwich, she couldn't prevent occasional puckers on the quilts she had quilted on her sewing machine. Then she saw a long arm quilting
machine.
Wait,
I'm going to stop here again.
We're already lost.
For the men tuned in, I'm just thinking, wow, there's
some.
Well,
not just men.
Like, I've never heard of pin the sandwich. That's kind of an interesting one. And occasional puckers. You know, I can kind of imagine what that is. But
do you know what a sewing machine is?
Okay. I think I've touched one. But I've carried one into the house for somebody, but
excellent.
I've never used one. But pin the sandwich. You knew what pin the sandwich meant?
Why did you ask that? You're getting back at me. No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but there was a quilting IQ quiz in the paper when we published this for that very reason, because I was anticipating a lot of the readers are not going to know this vocabulary.
Yes, yes.
Well, so the sandwich of a quilt mark includes the quilt top.
Okay.
You know what that might be.
Sure.
And then some batting to add depth and usually warmth in the old-fashioned quilts that Grandma made for Grandpa, was to add warmth for their bed at night. And then the backing is the backside of the quilt, obviously.
Therefore, the sandwich. I get it.
Yes, you can pin them together. Good job.
So for those who wish to, you can turn to page B2 in the edition and check out your quilting IQ in the quiz.
And Mark will do it before this program.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that'll be fun.
They really all are.
I can't say, I can't really pot kettle.
Anyway, let's see. We were done pinning the sandwich.
Yeah,
and
she
couldn't prevent occasional puckers. The puckers where the fabric kind of bunches up under your sewing machine foot.
Stick with us, folks.
I thought that's when you have too much lemonade and it's like, and you pucker.
It's kind of the same, but picture it on fabric.
Read on, Ruth.
All right. She saw a long-arm quilting machine at the Decatur Quilt Show. Seeing one up close and getting to test drive it convinced her she needed one. And it could eliminate that puckering. She dropped hints to her husband, extolling the advantages of quilting on the long arm. Joy even agreed to take it down during the holidays, since the space-occupying machine would have to be set up in their living room. Once her husband agreed, Joy resolved to learn all about her new purchase. An aunt and cousin brought her quilt tops for finishing, perfect for learning long-arm intricacies. Her next project was completing a full-sized quilt for herself. That quilt won first place at the Illinois State Fair.
Wow, yeah. That had to be a good one, too.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good. As I looked around her quilting room, they added a new living room to free up permanent space for her quilting. I admired the wall hanging titled Framed Flowers. Joy said it began as white, whole cloth muslin. She used Adobe Illustrator to create the design, then traced it onto the muslin with disappearing ink. And after adding batting and backing, she faux trapunto quilted it.
Oh, yes. I understand that.
Oh, faux trapunto. Yes, yes.
You had to see Marianne. She had her fingers up like, I don't know what that's
I'm being very sophisticated right now.
Check your IQ.
About things I don't even know anything about.
Trapunto quilting is a means of adding three-dimensional appearance to a quilted object.
And there's a picture of the frame flowers here on the front page of section B1.
And can you believe that began as white muslin, which is just a plain white cotton piece of fabric. Mm.
And faux trapunto, or what, trapunto, quilting is number 8 on our quiz. Okay, go ahead.
After adding batting and backing, she faux trapunto quilted it before painting the entire piece using a variety of paint and ink. Who would believe that stunning wall hanging began as a piece of white muslin?
So when you put one of these together, mm-hmm. you also add paint, or you paint onto them?
You don't have to.
Not usually.
Okay.
But in this case, she chose to use the white muslin fabric, put the design on it, put it together in a sandwich, and quilted
it. Wow.
And
then
it's still all white.
Wow.
And then she painted it, and you can see she made a lovely floral design with a gold edging around it. It looks like a framed
picture.
It's
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Wow.
These pictures, even on the Prime Life Times, are not doing it adequately.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Doesn't give it justice.
That's the better word,
yes.
So, when I asked Joy whether she had a favorite quilt, she brought out her lovely Rings of Posies quilt. After buying the embroidered quilt top at an auction, Joy spent hours sketching possible quilting designs before assembling and finally quilting it. Once ready for the binding, but unable to find a fabric in the exact color she wanted, she painted enough binding fabric to perfectly match an embroidery thread in the quilt top. The story doesn't end there, though. She wanted to enter this quilt in the juried American Quilters Society Paducah quilt show.
Isn't it also referred to as AQS?
That's American Quilters Society.
And that's in Paducah, Kentucky, right?
Yes.
That's a big
uh-huh.
artist place.
Yes, it's a very big show, and it's held in the spring every year.
Mm-hmm.
Though she would apply in the long arm quilting division, she had to include both the name of the person who embroidered the quilt top and the embroidery pattern name. The shop that auctioned the quilt top supplied the contact information, and she eventually connected with the embroiderer, the one who did the embroidery on the top, and learned the cross-stitch pattern details. Just 2 days before the deadline for entry, Joy submitted her entry form. It was juried into the Paducah show and has since won awards at other national quilt shows.
Hmm.
Recently, members of the Decatur Quilters Guild created a quilt top titled Ruby Celebration. Then, Joy added her flair by quilting and finishing the quilt. That quilt will be raffled at the Guild Spring Show. Raffle tickets will be available from Guild members or at their April Quilt Fest in Decatur. Hopefully, the raffle winner will enter it in future shows so others can appreciate Joy's quilting ability and generosity.
Now, I have to say, the picture of Ruby Celebration down here,
uh-huh.
I love that quilt.
Isn't that
beautiful?
That
is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Joy's favorite thing about quilting is conceiving a quilting design in her head, then seeing it come together, so that the quilt top and the quilting design are mutually complementary.
Isn't that pretty true of most gifted people in the arts?
Mm-hmm.
They get a concept, whether they work with paints or fabrics mm-hmm. or marble or whatever, you know, the person that sees the tree trunk and brings out the chainsaw, and they envision something. Michelangelo, I was just reading something about the marble that he sculptured, the Statue of David.
Mm-hmm.
Two other people had passed on it or something, and he envisioned and saw it, and then it became realized.
I think he's the one that said he cut away everything that wasn't David. David was
one. Oh, yeah.
He mm-hmm. could
Where
see
was
it.
That? Was that in the Prime Life Times or something?
No, but
I read that, too.
Really?
That was recently something that I read. Okay.
Sounds good, yeah. Anyway, she gets especially excited when the results prove better than even expected. Joy's business, Custom Quilts of Joy, opened in response to quilting enthusiasts' admiration of her work. Some customers bring in a quilt top they have pieced or purchased. Others need her expert consultation to create the quilt they envision. Sometimes, having seen her quilts in a show, even out-of-state customers mail Joy a quilt top, seeking her know-how. She consults with each one by phone or internet concerning the occasion for the quilt, preferred colors, texture, etc. Some have specific ideas. Others merely urge her to, quote, work her quilting magic, end quote. Noting Joy's obvious artistic talent, I ask about her art background. She shrugged, saying she didn't really have any except for 2 high school art classes. She loves to doodle and sketch ideas for quilting designs and admits to watching TV with a sketch pad on her lap. Anyone who doubts her ability as a quilting designer need only look around her quilting room at the many ribbons testifying to her talent. Recently, Joy has added robotic capability to her long-arm machine. Now, she can program a digital edge-to-edge quilting pattern into the long arm, and while it's quilting the sandwich together, she can work nearby, perhaps planning a custom quilting design. That's multitasking at its quilting best. Learn more about Joy Voltenberg and Custom Quilts of Joy, and see photos of Joy's beautiful quilting at www.facebook.com/custom-quilts-of-joy/, or custom-quilts-of-joy.com.
Nice.
Custom-quilts-of-joy.com. Classic name.
Happy name for a business.
Yeah.
Retired school administrator D. Ruth Esri began her administrative career in preschool and then moved up to elementary school. Ruth and her husband live and farm in rural St. Joseph. They have two adult children and one grandson. And I know also spend a lot of time with Restoration Urban Ministry, serving there in a number of capacities. You help out here at the Great News Radio Center with our English conversation classes on Thursday. You help with the Prime Life Times Endless Hours with proofreading and story gathering and actually taking some stories that are way too long. And I think Rob was saying, or Rob and Marianne, you were both saying, how she can help bring a story, concise it down, and make it still very readable and enjoyable, keeping the content and everything that the person wanted, but yet taking out some of the fluff, I guess.
Well, a lot of times it's a team effort. Yeah. Marianne's great at that, too.
Yeah.
I have to say this. I think that many people would have to speed up to reach your slowing down after retirement. I do think that. It's amazing what all you're doing.
Well, it's my privilege, and I'm thankful I'm able to do it. So.
Yeah.
And appreciate your prayers even before we began this broadcast, praying up the radio ministry, how it'll touch lives and continue to grow. And for a few weeks, I've been hoping and praying I could make an announcement. It still seems like it's a couple weeks off of some of the unique things that God's going to be doing in the radio ministry in the days ahead, but we continue to ask for your prayers. I sent out an email to the board yesterday updating them on a few things, saying that it looks like there still needs to be some review of some things that'll take another couple weeks to be documented and put together, but we're excited to see how God will continue to expand the broadcast and expand the reach of the Prime Lifetimes paper. We had a great meeting yesterday where we just have a vision of continued growth and allowing this paper that's encouraging, that's informative, that's educational, to reach more people so they can be blessed by it. And this is one of the many stories that recounts an individual that's very gifted, that's local, that has used her talent. You know, it's almost a model for many people to say, but I wasn't good. I only took two classes in high school. Look what she's done with those.
I know. I thought about that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, she really took something that she was interested in and just went with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's still working full-time, doing something totally different.
Wow.
And, you know, has her shop open in the evenings for a couple of hours, and then, I'm guessing, spends many, many hours quilting.
I would think so.
I didn't see the husband mentioned by name, though, and I think some credit goes to him. Giving up his
speaking as a husband,
but giving up his living room and building this addition or expanding for her, and many hours, obviously supporting her as she's doing this, and I think he
was also smart.
Guy.
What looked like a hobby became a pretty amazing business.
Right.
And kudos to Joy for following up on her dreams and her desires. And, you know, if she's watching TV and yet she has a little sketch pad, so she's always thinking, allowing that creative gift that God's given her in her mind and heart to come up with different designs. And I just bet there's people listening that have some latent gifts that they just haven't thought about. You know, their little doodles could be very artistic or used in different ways.
That's true.
You know, we just sometimes never know how God might use a prodding or a talent or something that we're good at or something that we think is, well, that's just my little hobby. No, this could be a career or a leading or something that you can teach to a younger generation, you know, so many facets.
Right.
Well, I like it how you use all those skills and talents you had as an administrator administrator for all those years. And Ruth, people everywhere still talk about how great you were at that. You know it's true. You can act humble, but you know it's true. But you still use all that, like at Restoration, with the homework hangout and helping the kids and all that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I could go on and on about some of the work she's done with the English conversation classes, where a few years ago when we launched it, when we first launched it, we're like, now how are we going to pull this together? And I need to recruit teachers, but what do we do as far as curriculum and developing? And we have some advanced students, and we have some intermediate students, but like the beginners, how do we even start with just the ABCs? And Ruth said, well, I have some background. I could probably put some lesson plans together. And so she didn't only put lesson plans together and train others, but started bringing in props and little tools, techniques, different things. Here's a way you could teach this, or here's some flashcards, or here's some other little props that you can use to help them with colors or whatever it was.
Well, I have to say, you know, I was in one of the first couple classes ever when we started, beginner, and I was like, how are we ever going to do this? No English whatsoever. And here comes Ruth, third class, in with this big shopping cart packed with groceries, and she pulled out thing after thing, and people recognized it. Milk. And so, and it worked. It worked. It was just brilliant.
And it was that basic where when you say no English, where even ABCs, part of a lesson would just be if you could get them to say, my name is Mark.
Right.
What is your name?
So, I can still see you standing up there pointing to yourself. Ruth.
That's still one of the hardest things.
You did a great job.
Turn-taking in conversation with foreign language speakers. It's not their fault. You say, my name is Ruth, what's your name? And they say, my name is Ruth, what's your name?
They think it's like, how are you? I'm fine.
And what's unique about many of these conversational English students, many of them are PhD candidates or double PhD, or some of them might be the visiting scholar's parents. And so they're proficient. They're maybe tops in their class. I mean, these are brilliant individuals, but they just don't understand the English language, and how frustrating that would be for us to be in a foreign country, not knowing any of the language and not being able to communicate. And yet so many of our teachers are embracing them, loving on them, and the impact it's having. Holly tells me all the time, these people keep asking, why do they volunteer? Why do they help? Why are they taking such an interest? They don't get paid to do this. And I said, no, they all volunteer. And so the impact that we're having on just loving these internationals, as the Bible talks about, you know, caring for the alien, extending love and compassion, and it's really making a difference. It's leaving a profound impact, as some of them have returned back to China and then have returned again and look forward to rejoining the group. So
one thing, usually my understanding and experience has been the students who are PhD candidates or master's level, whatever, they usually have a fairly good handle on English language. But the ones who are the beginners, has been informative for me, are often the parents of those students. And they didn't have the opportunity that is afforded today in China to learn English from a young age. Had some teenagers tell me that they start learning English in kindergarten, only they don't call it kindergarten, but at that age. But the parents of the grad students can come here on a six-month visa, and they know no English.
Right.
But they can come to our classes and begin to learn English, and that's been great. And it's not that their son or daughter wouldn't teach them, but they're so focused on their classes. Plus, they have to, by requirement of the university, to attend classes instead of teach mom or dad English.
Well, plus, I just have to say, you are a teacher at heart, so you're the perfect person to be teaching those folks.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
It's a great group where we get 50, 60, 70 students here on Thursdays, and we have anywhere from 20 to about 25 teachers that assist, and we all generally pair up, and there's unique classes from just conversational English to Bible studies that are being held, so they're learning English through the study of the Bible or a book in the Bible. Nancy Miller has an overview of the whole Bible she's taking them through, where others, it's a specific book, and then I think this week's lesson is on sports and sports topics and sports words, so, you know, they can understand what halftime means or some of the things that we all quickly know or identify with. So.
Speaking of that, you could put together a sports quiz for the paper.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I'll go do that right now. Yeah. All right, well, get this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, Quilts of Joy, B1, front page story by Ruth Esri, and we appreciate our great Prime Life Times team. Thank you, Marianne, as our editor-in-chief, overseeing all the various content and the things that we put together. And I ask that you pray up our English conversation class along with the Prime Life Times and the radio ministry as we see God using it in the days ahead. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Ruth Esri with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you and have a great day and night.